displaying churches having pews with kneelers, not one. Oh, soft reclining chairs, full carpet, the last word in comfort, no kneelers. And of course, communion ratings have gone out long ago. And there is no warrant for that anywhere in the Second Vatican Council or the Church's Roman documents. I think today, on the feast of the dedication of St. John Lateran, it was worth saying what we've just said. Whatever you can do, first to prevent such iconoclasm, do it. Whatever you can do to restore any of the architecture of the churches, many look like barns, and inside, in many cases, you never think you're entering a Catholic church. And of course, whoever now genuflects or kneels, you fellas do it, all right? Do it. Oh, with stories I could tell of my experiences. We had little experience this morning. A church is the house of God. Learn all you can about the church's teaching on how churches should be built, what they should contain, and then part of your apostolate, I am telling you this, part of your apostolate is to preserve and where need be to restore Catholic churches as sacred edifices in which Jesus Christ dwells and where He gives extraordinary graces who come there not to recreate, not to engage in conversation, not to joke and laugh, not to have meetings, but to worship. Because Christ wants to have the place where He dwells to be, as He said, remember when He drove the money changers out of the temple, "My house is a house of prayer." Dear Savior, give us the wisdom and the courage to restore Your church in a secularized country like ours. Your church is to become houses of prayer. Now people gather and kneel and pray because You, their Lord, are present to receive our worship and adoration. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Timothy, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of death. Amen.
Seed of wisdom,
pray for us.
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Now, did you have some questions?
I found some translations I wanted you to look at.
Well, these are copies of the Vulgate.
In English.
Now this is, that's the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
This is another Knox. Okay. And this is the Douay version, okay. This again is one of Knox. Well, let's get serious about this. You know what we're talking about here, don't you? Because, as we mentioned, I believe the last time, part of the iconoclasm, that's what's really going on, part of the iconoclasm has been the removal of from print of all English translations of the Church's official text of the Bible. And all kinds of articles are being written and speeches have been made discounting the value of the Vulgate. Well, too bad. It is the official text of the Bible. Now, first of all, accumulate these. Now, may I ask, are these available or are they borrowed? Or
I purchased those.
Please?
I bought them.
Thank you.
These are a list of Mrs. Gagnon has three Bibles, and they are the same. They are translations, different ones than those.
The New American Catholic Edition, and yes. See now, this is the closest they've come to translating the Vulgate into modern English. However, as you also know, it's only the old New Testament that has been translated into modern, you might say, American English. Now, this, there is a better one than this still. There are still some of the books of the Old Testament, I think seven of the books of the Old Testament, that have also been published or translated into modern English for use in the United States. But the bulk of the Old Testament has not so been translated. And all that we've said before, we don't have to repeat. What we need is, first of all, to find out what we've got. And in the United States, except for one more that's missing, there is still one more, as I said, no longer by Benziger, but the last I heard it was by the Cathy Publishing Company in New York. But someone called me up yesterday to inform me, among our people, either the Marian or Ignatian catechists, to tell me that neither the Daughters of St. Paul nor the Cathy Publishing Company are any longer publishing any English translations of the Vulgate. Just out completely. And that's not surprising, because the pressure to get rid of it is strong, especially with the Bishop's Conference behind it. And the Bishop's Conference is making a fortune. They're charging royalty prices for quoting from the Bible. I think I told you with the Leola Press edition of the Religion Textbooks for Children, 8 grades, times 2, a text for the children and a manual for the teachers, so it would be 16 books. For the first several years, the sisters who were doing the writing, I was coaching, overseeing the project, they were using the New American Bible. And for 1 year, their bill for quoting from the Bible was $10,000. Quoting from the Bible. This is no longer the Catholic Church. So that just was a lot of money. Besides, I didn't like the New American Bible anyhow. So I talked to Doubleday, and that's a secular publisher. And they agreed, because it would be good publicity for them, to use the Jerusalem Bible in a series of texts for children. They signed a statement. They gave, copyright for nothing to use in the Notre Dame and Loyola University Press series. So that's one reason. But there's a lot of money in it. And of course, the hundreds of personnel they've got in Washington working for the USCC, and not a single one of those personnel in a $30+ million building, nothing, not one brick there is under the Holy Father. Not one brick. Completely independent of Rome. There's no way that I could impress you with the gravity of the situation, no matter how long I talk. 21 years and working for the Vatican. The Catholic Church in the United States is deliberately, consciously, legally separated from the Pope. Do you hear me? I'm being recorded. I mean, we can't believe it, because we see bishops with their mitres on, and we see churches, we still see tabernacles, and we can even see in some churches still left some stations of the cross. But conceptually, ideologically, and even legally, the Catholic Church in the United States is separated from the Pope. So this is just a symptom. But it's a pretty important symptom, because we need the Bible. It's the Word of God. I want to be as emphatic as I can that this is not to be used for anybody else except the Ignatian and Marian catechists.
Yes.
Okay. So you still have to get that one book. And that will be the last one that I think we have in existence. The Confraternity Edition, which has some of the Old Testament books besides what this has here. Some of the Old Testament books also updated in more modern English. But even as I've seen, I think it was 1940, the latest edition of the Confraternity version of the Bible was published. He's already 50 years. So this will be about it, except for that one book. That's it for the United States. Now these are British.
What's that one book again? What year was that one book published? It's a Confraternity Edition, right?
Yes, which has, but not all. I think there are 7 books from the Old Testament published into modern English. Now, this is a major project, to say the least. But imagine several million dollars are spent putting out one of these things, because with all the research and translations and so on that have been expended on this. We don't have that kind of money, but hopefully we'll have the personnel. Now what I want to do, as I told you, enroll them. I didn't quite plan on this because there's enough in 8 days that I have to do in Rome. However, when John McAlpin gives me all the information about that group in Rome called Antinitas, what we should do is get in touch with him before I leave. Call him up so that I can make an appointment to see them, because you walk into one of those offices, you know, 10 minutes of conversation, but you get nowhere unless you make an appointment. You've got work to do. So what I'd like to do when I'm in Rome, you fellows have got to be serious about this, though. You follow me? Yeah. And by the way, the Spanish, the same thing. At least the text of the Spanish Bible that I've seen are no better. In other words, they also have ignored the Vulgate. And I've never done this because it wasn't my business to do it. But somebody should do it. Take, say, the New American Bible. It's the revision of the then New American Bible. Somebody ought to take, and using the New Testament as the norm, and just compare left side the New American, right side a good Vulgate English translation, to see what has happened to the Word of God. I told you that's what the first thing that Luther did. The first thing he did was to retranslate the Bible. First thing he did. Because he knew people are going to, you know, kiss this, the Word of God. And it's the Word of God, all right. Better be the Word of God and not tampered by the Word of man. And it will be an eye-opener. An eye-opener to see what has happened. For example, the New American Bible, both the New American and the New American Bible, consistently changes the Greek word basileia, which means kingdom, into reign. R-E-I-G-N. What are they doing? Reign, first of all, it's an odd word. Reign. That reign is an abstraction. Kingdom is concrete. Basileia. That's Christ's normal term for the church. Basileia. What have they done? They have deinstitutionalized, destructured the Catholic Church. It's no longer a kingdom. There's no longer a pope at the head of it. You follow me? They've democratized the New Testament. That's pretty bad. And the real giveaway that I always, when I pick up a Bible, the first thing I look at is St. Luke, his narrative of the Annunciation. Kathleen, she called me up yesterday and told me that he has not found a single English translation, except, of course, the Vulgate. And these are nominally Catholic, that say that Mary is either a virgin or full of grace. My Lord. I think I told you the Spanish has done the same thing. And consequently, I want to impress you with the gravity of this. However, I would welcome ideas. Don't go around talking about this to a lot of people, because the last thing we need is, you know, publicity on what we're doing. But you'd have to find the right kind of people who can do this. Now, you might be able to do some work, but clearly this does require a certain mastery of the English language. And then what we can do, I don't think that's the first thing we need. But in the near future, we'd have to get someone to back this financially. What I will try to do, I may not succeed in the week that I'm in Rome, to get Roman backing to our project, you see. But have they seen it? Yeah, it's molto importante. Very important. And the poor missionaries of charity, you know, they want to get copies of the Bible, because I've been telling them, I've been opening up their Bibles and finding all kinds of junk in their Bibles. So, and this should be done for the whole missionaries of charity throughout the world. But the trouble is, the books are not even in existence. Yeah, but
they do what he rings. It's not good for them.
Please?
The sisters have a lot of problems. They have some difficulty with the English language. The do what he rings is tough. It's hard for someone, I think, who is studying English as a second language, like the sisters do.
You mean?
I don't think the do what he rings is...
You mean the...
The one that's available now, the only one that I know of is Dewey Rheims.
Yes.
And that's just not good for them.
But it's, and the Dewey Rheims is good. Uh-huh. Now, what could be done, but you see, there has to be some scholarship behind it, otherwise, you know, the enemies, and boy, we've got enemies. And you shoot it down in no seconds flat, you see. You've got to get bishops in on this. And how many bishops are even aware of what's going on? And so that, in other words, to find, well, the money, the ecclesiastical backing, and the kind of talent which this requires. Now, if people want to continue, this one over here, he lives in Silver Spring, Washington, you might get in touch with John. Because, see, he's in contact with that Spanish-speaking woman that I think I told you, who works with Father Marx's Human Life International in Latin America.
Oh, yes.
And she'd be very valuable.
Would you have this number?
Yes, I would have it. What I can do when I go upstairs. Is that about it, then? Or is there something else you wanted to
do? I was going to mention that you wanted a summary from us. I'll have mine for you.
Yes, if you would.
Take the
See, because I'm leaving Thursday morning for Pennsylvania, and I'll be back. I will be back Sunday. In other words, I'm going to Pennsylvania on Thursday, and I'll be back. I'll try to get like a 5 o'clock or so flight coming into Metro. So I could be here by 7 o'clock on Sunday night.
Well, you need a ride.
Well, it mightn't be a bad idea.
Because
you'd be, sister would be, I'm sure, willing, but she might have other appointments. So you'd be, I don't know exactly what the airline or the number is. Most likely U.S. Air coming in from Johnstown.
Okay.
And then I'd be leaving on the 3 o'clock flight out of Metro on Monday. For JFK and then for Rome.
Okay.
So, yes, if you could bring that, because what I want to do is to present to the people I'll be seeing in Rome what we are doing in the States, because But we're seeing in the United States and the convulsions to which the church is going. For example, this sex ed passed by the bishops. And Daniel, the horror of it is, those men don't even pay the Pope the courtesy. In other words, nothing, and this is the language, nothing which a bishop's conference anywhere in the world decides or decrees for the people in their territory has any binding force unless the Pope approves it. They don't even consult the Pope whether they should discuss it, which they should. They blast it all over the country, you know. New York Times being the, you know, the, that's the sex magazine of the newspaper of the world. Just sex, 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 constantly. This is New York Times. And anything that can embarrass the church, they will print. This is the New York Times. So they get the copy of the New York Times, pardon me, New York Times gets that text, you see, flashes all over the country. And psychologically, the people feel that they're bound by it. That's got zero worth already. But who knows that? Who knows that? So, now, any fellows, I'm sure you realize how grave this is. And it's not just here, it's, you know, wherever you turn, and just about every diocese in our country. And where the bishops are trying to hold on, they're being blasted and pilloried by the press, by the media. So, okay.
Somebody asked, how many of us have not turned in our paper to you?
Well, I'd say I've got maybe two so far.
Okay. So I'll remind.
Would you remind the fellows?
I'll call them and remind them.
Remind the fellows. Now, they can't get it in before I leave on Thursday, there's no problem, provided I would get it if they can by the time I would leave on Monday, you see.
Okay.
Thanks.
We meet Wednesday night, Wednesday at 7.
We're meeting Wednesday at 7 for 1 hour. Keep it.
Okay.
Sure.
As far as the manuscript is concerned, it's clear with Doubleday that we can print.
Is it what?
It's clear that we can print this.
Oh, yes. See, in other words, what happened is, I think I told you, over the years, Doubleday has handled all whatever translations there were. Spanish, German, and Japanese that I know of so far. And they take care of the contact another publisher and they do everything. Now, this was different. The first editor of Doubleday died, by the name of John Delaney. He wrote some of his books. Just a great Catholic, under whom the Catholic Catechism was published first. When he passed away, it was a different ballgame. And then even this, the second, I might say, team at Doubleday has all left Doubleday. I'm dealing with now the third generation of editors. So I got the thing translated. I paid $3,000 for the translation. It took about 9 months for a man to teach his Spanish at the University of Baltimore to do it. So it's available. Now, John O'Connell, keep in touch with John, because John O'Connell is Ignatian catechist on the East Coast. And he may not be reachable this week because today he and his wife are going to Omaha. Been married 2 years now. I witnessed their wedding in Washington. His wife, Dolores, teaches nursing education at the University of Maryland. But they're going to Omaha to spend the whole week there dealing with some fertility experts. They want children. And, well, you know how hard it is for couple they really want, children can't have them. So I think they're leaving today. He's taking off from work. He works with the agriculture department, and she is the university. They're going, spending all week in Omaha. I'll be coming back Saturday night of this week. Now John has a copy, and he was negotiating with a publisher in Argentina. But it seemed to be so complicated. First of all, the foreign laws and the tariff and all kinds of red tape. And his father could be find an American publisher. And this has been going on for some time with John. So I said, yes, let's see what I can do. And then I thought of you people, you see, and Kathleen is very happy.
Has this book ever been printed in Spanish?
Please, it is.
Has it ever?
No, never.
Never did?
No. Now, what I will need, and I like to do it myself, but it takes an age, because that's a big manuscript. You know, it's in big type. It's in giant type. So it's, you know, fills a lot of pages. So it's never been published. Now, Martha called me up last night, and she's been in contact with Kathleen just to make sure that, and I talked to Martha about this, so we agreed, this is Martha in Washington, that Inter Verifica would have some kind of, might say, overseeing of the manuscript. In other words, you people would, I have to have the copyright. This is my rule in the order. Double day, I publish books with double day, I keep the copyright. A contract should be signed. What I should do is pull out one of my contracts with Doubleday. Now it goes on to pages. You don't have to. Because Doubleday, you know, they're just... I have the copyright, but you never think so, because you read those four pages, you wonder what rights I've got left. And frankly, not many. It's almost a... figure of speech that I've got the copyright. They've got everything else. So it's your business. You handle it. Finances. Now one thing that I have to have is contract for the royalties. See? Now what I normally get is 10% of the retail price. That's been the custom for 20 years. And that's it. Now, somebody, it was Bill Miskier, who checked out printers. Mm-hmm. He tell you about this?
Yes.
Did he?
Yes.
There's, I think it's a Walton or Alton or some such outfit, mm-hmm, here locally. And the printing, sorry about it.
Harlow. Is that the
one? Harlow, that's Harlow. It is.
Have you worked with them?
Please?
Have you done any work with them?
No. Because I never have any, sure, on my own. Yeah. See, I give it to a published friend. Well, they just do everything. Yeah. They even get the copyright. They get the imprimatur in different cities and so on. Like, for example, I'm sending off this morning the manuscript on the Cathy family, the modern world, to the leaflet missile. They just take care of everything. Get it printed, get it imprimatur, get, and they also do the promotion, you see. And the figures, and these are, you know, today's figures that Bill, did he give them to you too, the prices?
No.
They're very, for what you get, like 1,000 or more copies printed. Now, you've got to first to test the market, find out how many copies you should print. You don't want to print more than you can, you know, conveniently sell. But the price, to check the prices of books and what the, you know, a book would sell for. Now I think the English edition, I think, what is it now? Is it $12.95? See? You know, that was $5.95?
Yes. I bought a copy for $4 from a used bookstore.
Boy. Boy, if times changed.
Yes.
Well, that's a good sign, because it means that a book is selling, see?
Yes.
But they're just making a fortune. And
that's a big seller for them.
Please?
That's a big seller.
Yeah. So, and the... they've also upped the price on the pocket catechism. Now $1 more is now $6.95. Which, again, all they think of is money. That's all. So then there should be a Spanish imprimatur. In other words, now that at least. Now, there may not be. It might be very simple. I can check with my provincial. And that provided somebody who knows Spanish says, well, this is what the English edition, which has its own imprimatur, then you would need an imprimatur from a Spanish-speaking bishop or from a bishop. Could be a local bishop who then would have some Spanish sense to go over the catechism.
Do you have you thought about putting the pocket catechism
into Spanish?
Into Spanish.
Yes. And in fact, it would be very useful. And the reason is because the missionaries of charity, and I promised them, well, how many times for the Catholic catechism over the years, especially in the last 2 years, when the Sisters Missionaries of Charity have got into their own catechetical work, so the catechetics, and they are in so many Spanish-speaking countries. Now, while they speak English as the official language of the community, but the people they deal with, even if the some of their people are bilingual, when they then could train as catechists, the language of the people, of course, is mainly Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So it would sell. Now, and this, if you could also do this, because as far as I'm concerned, all I want to do is do the writing,
mm-hmm.
and others do the rest. But now this is a question and answer catechism. There's a priest. In Mexico, I had a correspondent somewhere. He wrote to me like, it's almost a year ago. He is bilingual himself. He has a small, beyond how small the mission church that he's got, but he is doing, he's a pastor in Mexico. He's been using the question answer catechism for his own teaching of the faith, but because he's bilingual, now that he trains the people in Spanish, but using the question answer catechism. So he would need a Spanish edition of the question answer catechism. So that's it.
Now could he help with the translation?
Well, he got somebody to do the translation. And from what I told it, he's, you know, he's competent. I haven't received any more word except that this priest got a professor from the University of Mexico who is negotiating. This man in University of Mexico is the one who is behind the Spanish translation. Pastor wants it. And the professor at the University of Mexico, he's supposed to be doing the translation. So to check down, find out from him what he's doing, where he is.
You wouldn't have his name, would you, Father? Okay.
Okay.
Very good.
Our business. Shall we pray?
Yes.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Define that which is the most readable English. First, we've got to find, in whatever countries they have English translations, find out and get those books. All we need is one, finally. Well, that's my message.
Do you think it might be, I was thinking that I would contact Father Bresnahan and perhaps Monsignor Sawyer from Assumption Grotto. I know they have, I think they have many old books.
Well, it could be done.
And I know they're both Orthodox.
No. Well, I would say what we need is the Bibles. And we need one, for example, the one that is the most recent, which Kathleen tells me has just been taken off the market. The Vulgate Confraternity Edition. They tell me, she tells me, is no longer on the market. And that would have been in the 40s, so at least 40 years ago. But there is nothing has been touched since, nothing, in the United States. And yet if it's to be acceptable to the English-speaking people in America, it should be something which, of course, they would be willing to read. Okay. Well, shall we? Okay. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We give you thanks, Almighty God, for these and all the benefits we have received in your bounty through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And may the souls of the faith departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. This is beautiful. Well done.